Lynn, Terry, I sent you an email asking if you guys were going to have... Oh, go ahead.
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and city.
Hi, this is Cindy in Peoria, Arizona.
Hello, Cindy. How are you doing?
Hi, good.
All right.
How are you guys?
Good, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, God. Do you think I answered that question?
Good evening. Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and city.
Aloha, hi. Happy 4th
yeah.
of July. I wasn't sure if we were still going to have a call today.
Yes, we are. And the next person joined us, welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and city.
My name is Kim from Tacoma.
Is it Tim?
Hi, Kim.
Kim. Hi.
Hi, Kim. Yeah, I remember you.
Now, Kim, are you somebody's daughter?
Yes. I'm Gary's daughter.
That's what I thought, making sure I had the
yeah.
right name. Well,
yeah.
very good to have you online tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Gary is her father. Gary helps us send out all the emails for Spirit Channel. Now we have a guy helping us in Norway. In
Denmark.
Sweden.
Sweden.
Isn't Sweden? Bogdan.
Yeah.
Terry, are you there?
I'm there, and I'd like to welcome everybody in the BBS call that's on BBS Internet Radio. It is
are we on the line, actually? Are you sure?
We're on the air right now. So I'm formally welcoming everybody from BBS Radio as well as everybody on the conference call.
Now you tell me that we're on the air.
Recording, Wynn.
Recording. Oh, yes. Well, that's Gina giggling.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we are now being recorded, and we welcome everyone that's listening on our replay lines, on our audio downloads, and everyone that's live that's taken the time this evening to be with us this 4th of July. And some people were wondering whether we're going to do a call, and here we are. Someday we're going to take a vacation, and then we'll play some replays. But for the moment, we're still running strong, and I don't know if anyone's listening for the first time tonight. We probably have a small listenership. But did you guys read the topic tonight?
No.
Yes.
You did. What was the topic? What was the topic tonight, Gina?
Why Independence Day is called Independence Day and the meaning behind that, I believe.
Wrong. Okay. That's not what it said. It says, why is the Declaration of Independence like the Law of One?
Okay, well, I stand corrected then.
But don't feel bad about it.
I'd be interested in the answer.
Did you ever remember? I sent out a picture of the first copy of the Declaration of Independence, or at least the first page of it. And it's really interesting because it's all crossed out, and it's the original worksheet they had. And it says, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to come and to assume among the powers of the earth separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them Hi there, this is Lynn. Would you like to say your name?
It's Nancy Jones from Orlando.
Hi, Nancy. So we're reading reading the Declaration of Independence, but I haven't muted everybody. I should mute you guys. Nice to have you. Hang on a second.
Thank you.
Hang on.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Everyone's muted. To which the laws of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect of the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare, oh God, the causes which impel them to take separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with inherent inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men. Now I can't read this word. Something about their just powers from the consent of deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. Now, isn't that interesting? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And I thought I muted those guys. Hang on a second. Let's just see who just came on the line.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Hi, Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean.
Hello.
Did you read our headline message today? Did you read what we're talking about?
No, I looked earlier and didn't see it, so I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, maybe if I sent them out 20 minutes before the call, more people would read them. But
yes.
My idiosyncrasy. You can read about it afterwards.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Well, interestingly enough, now I'm not going to tell you the answer to this, but I'm going to read a couple of things here, and those of you that have paid attention to our work, and I don't talk about this often, because I like to talk about Terry being St. Catherine, okay? That's kind of like a something she's St. Catherine, and she can heal it without me self-aggrandizing. And for those of you who know,
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up?
You're breaking up.
I don't know why.
I didn't hear what you said.
You hear me okay, Hive?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Hive is hearing me, so it must be your line or BBS. Okay, but I hear you okay,
okay.
Terry.
Okay.
So. Hi, Don. Are you listening into the show?
Pardon me?
Are you going to listen to the show?
Oh, I'm tuning in the background.
You are? This is gonna be interesting, Don. Okay.
All right, let's
unmute everybody again.
All callers are muted. Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. So when you were somebody in a past life, in most cases, it's just as good that you didn't know who you were. Because in some cases, if you're really working on yourself, it's good to know things you did so that you can learn from how a pattern got established in a past life. But you don't need to know your past life to know about the pattern, because what happens is the pattern gets repeated in this life, and it comes in, and something or someone triggers the pattern. So you don't need to know how it got triggered in a past life. You can learn about it from this life. The problem with patterns is that most people don't realize they have a pattern. They think it's them. And I remember when I was growing up, when I was young, it felt like that's who I was. I didn't know I was all screwed up, or and some of you have heard about my father, or this or that, you know, the things that I internalized. It feels like you. So one of the things that's really good to know is that it's not you. No matter what the pattern is, it's not you. It's a pattern. It's a pattern that keeps you from being you. It keeps you thinking you're not loved. It keeps you thinking that you're not worthy. And many times these patterns have been imposed upon you by other people in other lifetimes. And then once the pattern gets set, you keep running it and you keep attracting people to support that pattern. So it takes a lot of self-observation to first identify a pattern, and second, to observe it, and third, to release it. And it doesn't usually happen quickly, as many of you know. The patterns are very deeply set. And even when you know that you feel unworthy, and you know that that's not you, you're still not able to shift it easily. There are ways to shift it over time. And one of the ways, I think, is coming into these conference calls and coming into our calls and studying this kind of material, because there's an energy on the line that helps lift people above the patterns. And then there's a certain wisdom that allows you to look at yourself and release your patterns. So, that being said, about 3 years ago, I did a workshop called The Egyptian Connection. And in that workshop, I shared all the things that seemed to tie me to an Egyptian pharaoh whose name was Akhenaten. And historically, that pharaoh is known as the heretic pharaoh because he did something very, very controversial, and he had a really difficult time of it. What if you're aware of Egypt, you know that Egyptians had many gods, and Akhenaten, according to Carla Ruckert, was talking to Ra, one of the few people in history that talked that Ra was communicating to. And his wife was Nefertiti. And as a result of talking to Ra, or communications from Ra, however they came to him, he came to the conclusion that the law of one was the way things were, and that Egypt was being run by the negative. And at the time, the priests were using their connection with all these gods to control people. And they were doing sacrifices. They were doing all kinds of things that the negative does today, the secret societies. And in fact, they were the Egyptian version of it. But they weren't secret societies. They were openly running the country. And so this pharaoh outlawed them, said, no more. We can't have this worship of these negative gods. And he became rather unpopular. He was very popular for a while, and then he became unpopular. And he was causing a lot of people to lose their jobs, not make money, and also, he was doing things that were for the best interest of the spiritual evolution of the planet, as opposed to what was best for the political needs of Egypt, because he was pharaoh, and he was supposed to be directing the armies and doing all the head of state thing, and he was doing something else. So eventually he moved the people that were his followers to their own city, about 200 miles outside of the capital of Egypt, which was Thebes. And as I was studying this, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, I have a workshop called The Egyptian Connection, and I'll tell you where to get that workshop. It's a four-hour workshop, and it is very profound. There were a number of things that were tying me to Akhenaten when this first started, and it was very hard to believe it. It was also, the whole episode was so out there, so science fiction-y. But one of the things was I was getting dream messages. This was in 2002, and I had a voice talking to me in my dreams, kind of looking over my shoulder and giving me wise guidance. And I thought I was making it up. It was, you know, I had Daphne having the Elohim talking to me. I had voices talking to me in my dreams. And, of course, I was writing the book about Wilcock, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And when I asked in a channeling, I said, who's talking to me in my dreams? They said, Akhenaten. And I said, and Ra? And they said, under the auspices of Ra. And then I said, did I know Akhenaten? And they said, you were his right-hand man. And I immediately, and then I said, what was my name? And they said, Amenhotep. And I went on the internet, and I wanted to see if I could find a picture or a statue of myself. I was looking for validation of this. And I found out that Amenhotep was the name for Akhenaten before he changed his name. Now, if you want to understand the Egyptian terminology of the time, Amun was the name of the lower god. Also, the moon god. It was the god that the priests were worshiping, and all the other Egyptian gods were subsets of that, Osiris, and I don't even know their names. And Aten was the sun god, and that was the god that Akhenaten was pointed towards. And so his name, Amenhotep, Amun, represented the moon god. And the previous three pharaohs were named Amenhotep 1, 2, 3, 4. And he changed his name to Akhenaten, which was the sun god. So when I asked in the channeling, who's talking to me in my dreams, and they said I was his right-hand man, and then they said my name was Amenhotep, I kept studying this, and I said to myself, why would Akhenaten have a right-hand man with the same name that he changed? In other words, Amenhotep was the lower god form. So as I put it together and put it together, eventually I found out Daphne had a very striking similarity to the statue of Nefertiti. And Nefertiti was Akhenaten's wife. And then, this was in 2002, and I was researching for the book I was writing, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I was at the Bodhi Tree, the metaphysical bookstore, and I was in the Edgar Cayce section, and I was just buying books to try to write the book I was writing and put things together. There was a book that was misplaced, and it was called My Son Akhenaten. And I said, I'm gonna buy this and read it and see if it brings any clues into this story. And as I read it, and I was particularly reading the characters of Nefertiti, I knew that was Daphne. And then it was after that that I looked her picture up and saw that she was the same as the Egyptian bust of Nefertiti. Well, there was another book about the history of Akhenaten. By the way, this was a channeled book. It wasn't a historical book. Somebody channeled it, and it was Akhenaten's mother who was speaking. And there was another book called Born of the Sun, the story of Akhenaten, also a channeled book, also Akhenaten's mother speaking. And there was a very interesting thing about these two books, because there was a villain negative priest named Akhenset, and the same priest was referred to in both books, but never appeared in Google. When I looked up Akhenset, there was no historical reference to Akhenset. And I thought that was a very strange coincidence. I say it's not a coincidence, because at this point I believe both books had the same channeled source. But at the time, it struck me, and it gave a certain validity to these books. Well, in one of the books, they talk about, well, let me tell you a little bit more about Akhenaten before I go through that. And it's 6:23. We can go over tonight because there's nobody after us if the story holds the energy. So Akhenaten lived 1300 B.C. approximately. Eventually, his city was destroyed. There was a bit of a mystery as to what happened to his body and what happened to Nefertiti's body. But in these channeled books, there was an assignment that Akhenaten was doing under the request, I assume, of the Ra group. And he was creating, not that he was creating it, but he was inspiring, making the environment for souls to become Christed in his city. Now, what Christed means is knowing how to live and express the law of one. The law of one means that you're me and I'm you. And we're here in this temporary separation of my body and your body. And he was creating environments for people to experience the law of one in a community where they were living together. And according to this book, there were about 100 people that he succeeded with, and he sent them out of the city. And he had to sneak them out if they had to go with the Hebrews, because the priests didn't want this to happen, and they would have been killed. So 100 people who were able to live in the law of one left his city, and they started living in the caves somewhere around there. I don't know where. I can't remember where. And there was a specific function for these 100 people, because they were to create a very high vibration unity in these caves. And of course, they passed it on to their children, and high souls came into that group. And this was all a plan of the Ra group. If you want to understand how the Ra group works, they make plans, and they work with this realm, making attempts lifting the vibration here. So this group of people became known historically as the Essenes. And when Jesus was brought into this realm, Jesus needed a high vibration community to grow up in so that he could hold the high energy that he was meant to hold. And the Essenes were that community, and that was all started with Akhenaten. I'll give a plug here on my workshop. It's called egypt.messageaday.net, egypt.messageaday.net. Some of you have had Egyptian incarnations, and if you had, when you listen to this workshop, it's going to trigger you right into a really deep understanding, because you can start to see how the Ra group works and interfaces with this realm and creates situations and circumstances that can allow the kind of evolution required so that people can graduate. And let me see here. This is, I just have these two books here. Don't worry, I'm going to get to July 4th. The group spoke a language which is known as Aramaic. They did not remain isolated in the Dead Sea, but formed compounds in Palestine where they cloistered and lived holy lives. They were known as the Essenes. When Jesus was about to appear, many reincarnated in Palestine to form a protective ring around the child. The three magi who traveled afar to bring gifts and honor him were ancient souls. The many who occupied the Essene compounds where Jesus found protection and comfort were among them. By that time, there were thousands, but always the original 50 men and 50 women returned to the same group to hold the light. Akhenaten reincarnated as the high priest, Oxy, of the Temple of the Sun in Heliopolis, which welcomed the child with his parents as they were led to Egypt. There he received his early training and was finally christed at that spot. Ty reincarnated as Judith, head of the Essenes. Ty was Akhenaten's mother. She and Oxy worked very closely in Jesus' early training and eventual Christhood and the dissemination of his teachings in the early churches. Not only did the early faithful incarnate to form a protective link around Jesus, but have done so at subsequent times in history, the time of King Arthur is one, the Huguenots of France another, and the early formation of the United States of America are only some of the most noted. They not only hold the light in bodily form during crucial times, but also carry a collective consciousness that holds the light for others from spirit during discarnate periods. Then it goes on to say here, the soul of Akhenaten walks the earth at this time, not in one body, but in 60, each carrying a facet of his mission. Now, actually, the guy that wrote this book believes he is one of the 60. He and I have sat together and talked about this. They have come from the future, folding back time to building the city of light at Akhetaten. Though Jesus, now this is interesting, though Jesus will walk among us, the second coming of Christ is us. And of course, in one of the channelings, they said Jesus was in a body in, where was it, Terry? Do you remember?
I think it was in Tibet.
Tibet, yeah. Now, in the other book, that was from the book Born of the Sun. The other book is called My Son, Akhenaten. In the other book, it says, Akhenaten lives in the earth today. Akhenaten accompanies those who walk in their journeys of light and those who seek to give light to men once again. Akhenaten will seal his lips as to his light. He will give light in what he is now speaking, not of Akhenaten of the past, nor of other bodies in the past. He will recognize the faces of those he knew in Egyptian days. In this, Akhenaten will be similar to the Sphinx, who inscrutably knowing, this is not me, I don't feel this way, but I'll read it. Inscrutably going, all wise and unspeaking, will resolve light and is going into the eternal way. From the past, Akhenaten will be drawn the great reservoirs of strength he used before, and then once again will begin to know light. For into Akhenaten's hands in the earth today has been given a key. He is fast approaching the time of unlocking the mystery within his mind, light, and heart. He will reveal once again the scrolls of the memories between the two ages. This will enable men to climb upward beyond the historical into the spiritual. Well, if all that sounds interesting and you want to hear the whole story, go to egypt.messageaday.net. So now I'm just going to say one thing, but I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'm going to leave you all with a question, and then maybe we'll go into some discussion with our sources through Terry about this. And let's see. I guess about 2 years ago, out of the clear blue sky, and I can't remember if it was, it might have been Daphne who said this. Daphne or Terry? Daphne, I think. They said, the reason I chose to incarnate in Philadelphia, which is where I was born, is because I was one of the founders of the country. And when I was young, I worked in downtown Philadelphia at an electronics store. And once a week, I would go to Independence Hall and stare at it. And I asked them, who was I? And they said they wouldn't tell me. I had to figure it out. And I did figure it out. And there was no doubt that in my mind, when I read their story carefully, that I had to have been that person. Well, I'm not going to tell you who it is, okay? You can email me. If you get the right person, I might say yes. I've never told this story publicly. And I'm always a little bit hesitant about identifying with somebody that's famous. So I told you that much. But it was just very interesting because they said the people were going to come back and be the founders of this country. And then they told me I was a founder of a country. And I do look like the guy. So go look up the founders and see who I look like. And there was a very high intent in the creation of this country to create an environment of freedom, of checks and balances, of a constitution, of ways that the government could not abuse power between the three power sources, you know, the Congress, the president and the Supreme Court. And yet here we are, and it seems like it's all falling to pieces. And that's good, I guess, because maybe if it truly falls to pieces, something will rise out of it. So on that note, before I risk sticking my foot in my mouth and saying anything I'll be sorry for later, Terry, are you ready?
Yes.
Now, you know, I'm going to ask questions that I never ask. I don't know what they're going to say. So we'll see what happens. Just for the highest good of all concerned, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect every person on this line, every person listening, Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through our galaxy, through the planets, through the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while honoring the individuality of each of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an, and we are here on this 4th of July, 2011, moving through Terry Brown and Lynn Free from Sedona, Arizona, and we greet each and every person on BBS Radio and the individuals on the telephone call. It is our delight to contact, make contact, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Do you have questions?
Well, why don't I open a carte blanche here for you to share anything you want about what I just said and about the founding of our country.
Thank you. We take a look at the country and we see that many of the individuals who are responsible for the founding of the country still have responsibility and take care to bring responsibility to government, and are many on the sidelines working in their own ways to bring stability to the country and working as light workers to bring through higher truth. We also see that you were working very closely with Akhenaten and were sharing space with Akhenaten in said lifetime, and that much of what you read in the book today is correct. And Akhenaten is as the segments of him in the countries are alive today in working to bring responsibility to government, and were more than one of the segments of Akhenaten were founding fathers of the country. It is a great celebration today, and we see a revival of the force, the Adith energy force, towards responsibility in government and toward the regeneration of life force within the country of the United States. We experience the fervor with which so many people celebrate the 4th of July and remember the country. It is a renewed energy, and it is heartening to see. Do you have questions?
You know, the story of Akhenaten, talked about him in that book, dividing into 60 separate souls after that. And that was the very first time I ever heard of someone dividing into separate souls. Could you explain a little about that? Is there a master soul that oversees all the individual souls? Are they all equal in their connection? And why did that occur?
There is a master soul that has not been discovered yet in the Akhenaten energy, and you are in touch with him and helping him, and he is helping you. And there are other souls that have broken off, and he is also working through them and is helping them as they are helping him. There was a synergy that was developed over millions of years of sharing the same energy, the same purpose, the same goals, the same space. And there was a time when these souls originally as separate ones came together for a purpose of furthering the law of one, and they, in the time of Akhenaten and after, began to seek their own separate energy, still working for the law of one.
Now, was Akhenaten an embodiment of the Master Soul, or was he a fragment of it?
Akhenaten was an embodiment of the whole soul that consisted of these individuals who had gotten together in the name of the Law of One to work towards the betterment of mankind and to work responsibly together under the Law of One.
So it's not like Akhenaten split into 60. He was already a combination of the 60 that were all working through him. Is that what I understood?
That is correct. That is correct.
But they didn't continue operating together. They continued operating separately thereafter.
Right, but the energy is still tied very closely together.
Mm-hmm. So, in the Declaration of Independence, were there a number of people who were embodying the Akhenaten soul energy who were participants in writing that?
There were participants that were embodying the soul energy of Akhenaten in the founders of the country. They came together as they were attracted towards the founding of the Union and felt that it would be a chance to put into effect a country wherein people could practice their own freedoms and could embody the unification that they had so long held as an idea where an individual might be free. As far as the signing of the Declaration of Independence, there were many that contributed, but not all that signed. And we see only a couple that were had embodied the fragments that embodied that had moved on the track along with the group with Akhenaten.
Thank you. Is it a common thing to have a person have many souls joined together for a significant lifetime?
It is not generally known. However, it is common in not usually such men of magnitude that join together. There are some that join together out of common misfortune.
When souls join together for a common purpose like that, would the negative also do that sometimes?
The negative can do that. However, it is more complex in the case of negative. It is more that individuals join together through some misfortune and then become negative.
Mm-hmm. Like souls that die in an explosion together or something like that?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. How about, say, someone who is a great spiritual leader like Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King or Gandhi Were they conglomerates of souls, or were they individual souls?
They were conglomerates, however, not of the magnitude of Akhtar. Mm-hmm.
Different, a
and
different
not
conglomerate.
As many. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I see. And of course, these individual souls have no memory of this, but they have potentially access to the energies if they do the right thing or they have the right synchronicities or whatever.
If they are open to receiving knowledge, it is all written in the Akashic Records, and it may be accessed, but it takes one that is totally open to see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in present time, it seems like there's aspects of the American dream, the American, what would we call it, the ethos, the intent, that have become very distorted within the context of what some people call secret societies that are service to self, that are behind some of the negative things we see. How did we lose the original energy intent and have that come into place? When did that start to occur in the history of our country?
It is a continuation within each individual as it brings to bear on the whole, and the resultant is what you see. And so it started in past history and became tempered by current history.
I see. Can we know in past history when that started? Did it start hundreds of years ago? Did it start 20 years ago?
It started with the entry of souls into the physical realm.
So it started at the beginning of creation.
That is correct.
And it's just been the ongoing balance between dark and light throughout history.
Yes, and the balance between dark and light got harder to move through approximately 3 bands, so to say, when civilization became very advanced, and also weaponry became very advanced, and the weaponry was then moved against the people, and it overwhelmed the people. Soul, matrix, and ability to move freely. And there were periods when this got very hard for individuals and periods where the darkness moved in the name of light.
So how can we fix all this now?
It is fixed by each individual observing themselves and learning the truth of themselves, the truth of their patterns, how they can get back to the original self before picking up unwanted patterns and unwanted energies from others.
The self is
a radiant being of beauty.
So basically, the reason the negative exists at a macro level is because of the power that it's given by each individual.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
So if enough individuals shift the negative, then dissipates.
Yes, it will lose its grip as individuals move into the truth. Then the holding on of negativity will dissipate.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for bringing those clarifications forth tonight. And is there anything else to say before we close this conversation?
As we look across the United States, we see great celebrations and the bringing together of families. This often happens during a time of holiday, which then makes the country stronger as individuals unite, communicate, and get together and befriend again each other. This is the true strength within the country. We leave, but we do not leave, and we thank you for this opportunity to be with you and each and every person who is connected or listening or hears this.
Thank you very much. And I just wanted to announce, number one, that some of you have heard me say this, and I haven't made a general announcement. I'm testing it. I've made the book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe Want to Talk to You, a free download. And you can download it at www.creatorgodbook.com. And if you haven't read it, then please do. And if you have read it, please share that link and just tell people to read it. And, you know, they'll get on our list, and some people it will make a big difference to. And maybe we can get a million people reading it and paying attention to this work. I'd like to put that thought out. And on that note, oh, also I'm doing a workshop this Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And you can go to www.creatorgodworkshop.com, www.creatorgodworkshop. And if you use the discount code 48 by midnight tonight, there's $10 off. And somebody really wants to take it and they're really tight on money, send me an email. And if I'm not too crowded, I'll comp you in. Okay? So on that note, I thank Terry, I thank our sources, I thank everyone on the line, and
all callers are unmuted.
And you guys are all unmuted. Happy 4th of July.
Bye. Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Happy 4th of July. Mahalo.
And say hello to the dolphins for us, Gina.
Oh, I most certainly will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brother Wynn.
That sounds like Mac Boogaloo, right?
I don't think so, mister.
Oh, no, that's Chris.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Chris. Nice to have you online, okay?
Yeah, I got here a little late, but...
All right.
I overslept yesterday.
You stopped conference recording. Your conference recording has stopped.
Thank you, everybody. It was a great call.
Thank you.
Love to all.